Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let me see those hands again. Yeah. Hey, on the hey, everybody jump. Jump, 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 jump. Everybody jump, 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 jump. Come on, listen. Some of y'all know how to do this. Some of y'all know.
A catastrophic attack. Hundreds are dead following the bombing of a hospital in Gaza, with Israel and Hamas placing the blame on each other for the devastation.
This morning, there is devastation and horror in Gaza, with hundreds of people killed in a blast at a hospital in the north of the Strip. Gaza officials say it was an Israeli airstrike, but Israel says it was a Palestinian militant rocket that misfired.
Yeah, this was the big news yesterday, a horrific scene, something like, and we can't go, right? Gaza is blockaded off, so it's hard to get good information, but the news around the world is something on the order of 500 people killed in a hospital destroyed by an explosion. That's the most neutral way to say it, and of course the immediate question is, well, who did what? And so the assumption, because this is what Hamas has claimed, is that Israel did it. And as a result, the meeting that was supposed to take place today with Jordan and also with the Palestinian Authority, you know, Biden was going to go to all three. He was going to go to Jordan, the Palestinian Authority, and then he was also going to go to Tel Aviv to meet with Netanyahu. And I met with Netanyahu, okay? The other two canceled the meetings. The other two said, no, thank you. We're not going to meet with you while you defend Israel, who just killed 500 people in a hospital. That was their reaction. And that has been the take around the world by people who have said that it was Israel who did it. I think a little bit more information and reflection might come to a different answer on this, because Israel is denying. Israel is saying, we did not do this. In fact, the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, they put out a statement earlier this morning and said, we didn't do this. We have drone footage of the aftermath. There's no crater. If we bombed it, there'd be a crater. This is something else. This is Islamic Jihad, an additional terrorist group that operates out of the Gaza Strip, that they did this. It was a mistake and a rocket attack that was coming from them in a graveyard nearby that misfired and blew up the hospital.
A catastrophic.
I'm sorry, that was the one I just played. Here was the one from earlier. This is actually one of the NBC correspondents talking about that IDF release.
And just the last hour, the Israeli military is releasing what it says is evidence that proves that this was a Palestinian rocket that misfired. They're pointing to a couple of things. One, drone footage taken from above this hospital in the aftermath of the strike, the Israeli military says, does not show any evidence of a crater, which is what you would expect if an Israeli heavy bomb indeed fell on the courtyard of this hospital.
So they're saying it was Islamic Jihad. They're saying it was a rocket attack, a mistake. Now, the criticism against that has been, to some degree, that bombs Israel drops are very powerful. Rockets that Islamic Jihad might have access to are not that powerful, not powerful enough to take down a hospital. Take out a house, yes. Take out an apartment or a car, yes. But destroy an entire hospital, not this way. So it raises the question of what destroyed it. And so here's where you have to use your logical analysis. You have to ask the question, you know, what's the most likely outcome, or what's the most likely explanation? So let's look at the Israeli possibilities. Possibility number one is Israel bombed it by mistake. Right? They were selecting a military target and they got the hospital by error. Israel doesn't typically make those kind of mistakes, but if they're saying that the Islamic Jihad made a mistake, maybe it's possible they made a mistake. That's always a possibility. But, and would they come out and admit it if that were true? I mean, I think they would, because they have in the past, but okay, that's one possibility. Possibility number two is Israel did it on purpose because they're horrible, wicked, terrible, evil people. They just bombed a hospital, bomb a hospital. Seems incredibly impossible. Israel would have had, because working through the logic, Israel would have had to anticipate that the whole world would criticize them for it. They would have had to anticipate that this would thwart meetings with Biden and Jordan and the Palestinian Authority, that this would give them tremendously negative PR in the region. And the people who want to come to Israel's defense would look at them and say, oh, my God, what are you doing? You know, Israel has PR problems enough with the real things that are about to happen. They don't need this, too, and the lies also. So that seems impossible to me that they would have done it on purpose. Unless, possibility three, there was a significant Hamas presence in the hospital using the hospital as human shields. And remember, human shields is a tactic that, you know, the terrorists use against Israel and against us, you know, because as it's a weird way of praising our virtue. because what they're saying is, we know that you're so virtuous, you won't kill innocent people, so we'll use our own innocent people against your ethics, which is a compliment, right? But it's still a horrible, evil thing they do. Now, Israel has said in the past, and you know their doctrine, as I understand it, is, yes, they will attack civilian targets if there's a military target concealed within it. And they take the view that, like, even one terrorist justifies. Most of the world takes the view that there's a proportionality question. And this goes back to the just war theory principle of double effect, which is, you know, you intend to kill terrorists, act A. The act of killing terrorists, you're going to also kill civilians, act B. Act A has to outweigh Act B, and you have to not intend to kill the civilians. You wish you could do it another way. You try to do it safely, can't be done. Principle of double effect says we're causing the second one, even though we know it in advance, it's not intended, and so it's acceptable. The question is whether you have to have a significant enough military target to justify the killing of the innocents in the process. In either case, Israel's not saying that either. They would say, you know what you don't realize? There was 100 Hamas militants inside that hospital, or there was 1,000, or there was, you know, rocket batteries or infrastructure, or command and control, whatever. They're not saying that. I think that if that were the case, they'd say it. Because they're willing to say that. So there's no good explanation of how it's Israel's fault. So then the question is, well, could it have been somebody else? We'll get to that in a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
We have our normal morning slowdowns on Highway 90 near Beulah High School. Tiger Point's checking in good, though. I-10, I-110 checking in clear as well. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. That's 250-3756 for Executive Landscaping. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, if you need your car serviced, it's an import, it's a BMW, it's a Lexus, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Jaguar, you don't have to go to the dealership. Common misconception is, well, I have to go to the dealership. No, you don't. You can go to Bobby Lykus Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They take care of those cars all the time. No problem. A diesel engine, same thing. You might think that's a specialty item, can only be done at the dealership. No. Bobby Lykus, they work on those all the time. Or any other car, your domestic, your gas engine, your runaround, whatever the case may be, they work on them. And the idea is to prevent the big stuff by seeing you for the little stuff. In fact, they kind of like to think that, you know, bring it to us healthy so you don't have to bring it to us on his deathbed. You know, like, we don't want to have to bring those cars back. They cost too much and it's too inconvenient to you. Prevent that with routine maintenance. The website, carclinicservice.com, or check them out in person. Bobby Lykus Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. So back to my analysis of this hospital bombing. Israel says that it was Islamic Jihad. Is it possible that Islamic Jihad could have blown up that hospital by mistake? Of course it is. Is it also possible that this could have been done on purpose by Islamic Jihad or by Hamas or by some other rogue agent? Entirely possible. Why? Well, look at the outcome. On the eve of President Biden visiting Israel, when he's going to meet with Jordan, strong ally, when he's going to meet with the Palestinian Authority, somewhat of a, you know, at least negotiating partner, what good would it do for you to kill 500 of your own people? Massive good if you can blame the Israelis for it. Right? Tremendous value. PR value, you know, perception of the war value, you know, drive a wedge between America and some of the allies in the region. There's all kinds of upside from Hamas's point of view. And then the question is, well, would they be willing to do something like that? What wouldn't they be willing to do? They kidnap, they rape, they behead. What wouldn't they be willing to do to their own people? If they think it's going to, see, from the terrorist mindset, nothing is ruled out. And if they think there's a strategic or military, tactical or psychological advantage to be had by doing something absolutely atrocious, well, great, do it. There's no limits. So could it have been a mistake, like Israel says they think it was? Of course. Could it have been a deliberate act by the terrorists? Also, I mean, of course, we don't have evidence for that. But just as much as it could have been a, you know, a rocket gone bad, could have been a rocket gone bad, and then there was also a bomb planted. I don't know. I'm just speculating. Like, this was intended, and they wanted to make it look like a mistake. If it came to look like a mistake, at least versus Israel having done it, which is what they're going to start to blame, did it work? I mean, so it makes all the sense in the world that it would have been done by them, either by mistake or on purpose. And it makes no sense that it would have been done by the Israelis. So you interpret it how you will, but you obviously understand where I'm coming from on this. 437-1620. By the way, the president on 60 Minutes did a, I thought, a really good interview with Scott Pelley. For example, he was asked, well, is it time for a ceasefire? You know, lots of people have died on both sides. Is it time for a ceasefire?
Certainly about 1,200 Israeli civilians were killed in the initial attack, but now Hamas fighters and Palestinian civilians are being killed in the counterattack. Is it time for a ceasefire?
Now look, there's a fundamental difference. Israel is going after a group of people who engage in barbarism that is as consequential as the Holocaust.
Good for him for saying it.
And so I think Israel has to respond. They have to go after Hamas. Now, Hamas is a bunch of cowards. They're hiding behind the civilians. They put their headquarters where civilians are in buildings and the like.
That's right.
But to the extent that they can separate out and avoid, I'm confident the Israelis are going to do everything in their power to avoid the killing of innocent civilians.
Again, keep in mind that Israel said, get out of the north half of Gaza, and they dropped millions of leaflets telling people, get out, like, go away, the, you know, knock on the roof before they would attack kind of stuff. So again, does it seem likely they would have done this on purpose? I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. But is it, and there's a follow-up question, okay, about, you know, occupying Gaza. What's the end game here for Israel? And toward the end of this, you'll notice that President Biden gets confused about which group he's talking about. And, you know, not to dwell, but this is where we are with this president, right?
Would you support Israeli occupation of Gaza at this point?
I think it'd be a big mistake. Look, what happened in Gaza, in my view, is Hamas and the extreme elements of Hamas don't represent all the Palestinian people. And I think that it would be a mistake to for Israel to occupy Gaza again. But to going in and taking out the extremists, Hezbollah is up north, but Hamas down south is a necessary requirement.
No, I'm glad he corrected, sort of recognizing that he had said Hezbollah when he meant to say Hamas, but he got confused enough in the moment that he didn't know what he was talking about. He starts talking about Hezbollah. And you know, this is useful maybe to learn, because you've probably seen the map, but it's maybe hard to remember. If you hold out your hand, I'm from Michigan and Illinois, everything is a hand, and Florida's a hand, right? You know, with the thumb out. If you hold your hand up, left hand up, okay, and that's Israel. The bottom left, like where your wrist joint is, that's Gaza Strip. Very small, 5 by 25. I think that's right, 5 by 25. Anyway, very small strip against Egypt. Egypt is where your cuff starts. On the east, like where your thumb is, that's Jordan. On the north, where your fingertips are, the little fingers, that's Lebanon, and the main finger and the middle finger, that's Syria, okay? So Hezbollah is your pinky finger. That's coming over from Lebanon. And then the West Bank is like from your first finger and your second finger knuckle down to like the middle of your hand, carved out as part of some different area, okay? And the Jordan River is running down the length of your, like, your right hand, the first finger. So anyway, Hezbollah is in the north. That's off of Lebanon. Hamas is in Gaza, okay? And he gets confused about it. And look, he caught the confusion. He tried to work around it and play it off like it didn't happen, but it did happen. So at least he's got the right stance. And again, I give him credit in this interview. It was a very good, solid defense of Israel. Who's in the right on this, making the right distinction? Scott Pelley, who's eternally just has a job. You know, he's doing what he does, which is not great, but at least Biden was really on in this interview.
Do you believe that Hamas must be eliminated entirely?
Yes, I do.
Good.
But there needs to be a Palestinian authority. There needs to be a path to a Palestinian state.
The problem is nobody knows what that looks like, really. I mean, the Israelis have been trying to do this for forever, and it's unwilling. The problem is, what do you do with the Gazans? You know, do you put them over on the West Bank? That's not allowed right now. Israel won't allow that, and for good reason, because every time they try to put the Gazans somewhere, they cause trouble. I mean, that's why Egypt doesn't want them, for good reason. Jordan doesn't want them, for good reason. Israel doesn't want them in the West Bank, for good reason. What do you do? There's no good answer. That's the problem. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's not too late. Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. That's right, loan-free. PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Excuses are destroying your success. Luke 14 records the devastating effects of being an excuse maker. One man said that he couldn't attend the master's supper because he had to prove oxen, while another said he had purchased land that he must go see. Yet a third man had just married a wife and therefore he couldn't attend. Their excuses were cloaked in half-truths, nonsense, and self-will. As a result, the master invited the poor, halt, lame, and blind to his dinner. The self-willed people rejected the supper, but the desperate-hearted people received the supper. In the seats of the original invitees sat poor, halt, lame, and blind. If excuse makers don't want to enjoy the benefits that God provides, someone else will. You can choose your excuses, but you don't get to choose the consequences. So beware of being an excuse maker.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
The I-10 Wired Summit returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored in part by Data Revolution, the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes the AFSIA TechNet CyberCoast track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wire.com for tickets and event information.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola, right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Oh, somebody texted in, thank you for the hand description. Now I understand the geography. You're welcome. I know sometimes that's all it takes is just a little bit of a, you know, oh, this is kind of where things are. Because it's hard to learn world geography if you don't already know it. I mean, it definitely is. Oh, and one thing, somebody texted me to remind me that, you know, Fox and all others were also reporting that the Israelis had an audio capture of the militants in Islamic Jihad talking about how a rocket had gone bad. So, you know, again, more evidence for that claim. Jake's got traffic on the 5 sitting in for Candy today.
Tiger Point construction traffic is starting to back up westbound in front of the Walmart there. Also, Highway 90 in front of Beulah High School starting its normal morning congestion there. We have a fender bender just now reported on Highway 29 southbound at Kingsfield. It's in the turn lane, so minor impact for now, but it's likely going to back up a bit. FHP is now on the scene. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And just a quick question. You said the Beulah what?
High school?
Middle school.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
See, when I went to school, it was K through 8 and then 9 okay. through 12. That's all.
Yeah,
we didn't have middle anything.
I heard it. I'm like, I don't think we've got a high school in Beulah.
Not
school. Yet.
Sorry, folks.
Need one. No worries. But I just wanted to make sure I heard you right. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
We are expecting another vote for the Speaker of the House this morning. This comes after Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan did not secure the needed 217 votes yesterday, but he says he is not planning to withdraw from the race. That vote expected at 11 Eastern, 10 Central. A homeless man claiming to be a member of Hamas has been arrested after threatening to bomb a Jewish school in Miami Beach. Police say 42-year-old Aliyer Ojeda Salas was standing by the gates between a school and a nearby synagogue, told an armed security guard he had C4. Students and staff were moved to a safe place in the building. Ultimately, though, no threat ended up being found, and he now faces a felony charge there. And about a third of U.S. parents are apparently having trouble getting diapers now. A combination of factors may be at work with this, according to the Institute for Research on Poverty, Inflation, Increased Inflation, increased demand, and fewer diapers being offered by low-income service providers apparently are some of the reasons. And they're recommending cloth diapers for new parents.
Well, you know, the disadvantage of cloth diapers is... the advantage of cloth diapers is you buy them once. You know, you buy them once, and all you need after that is water and detergent, you know? And there is a long tradition of people in this country and around the world using cloth diapers. It's not the end of the world if you have to use it. But, no, far less convenient. You know, far less convenient, certainly, than the disposable. But, you know, as the environmentalists will tell you and the people trying to save money, there are alternatives.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden says the United States stands with Israel.
Today, tomorrow, and always, we promise you.
The president in Tel Aviv, Israel, with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He says it does not appear the Israeli military is responsible for last night's explosion at a hospital in Gaza, killing hundreds of people. Israel says it was an errant rocket fired from Gaza. In Alabama today, Natalie Holloway murder suspect Yaron Vandersloot is expected to reveal how she died and what happened to her body as part of a plea deal in an extortion case.
He was indicted in 2010 after federal investigators say Vandersloot exploited the fear of Beth Holloway that she would never find her daughter Natalie's body or know what happened to her in Aruba in 2005 unless she paid him $250,000.
Fox's Matt Napolitano. After this, Vandersloot will be sent back to Peru to finish his prison sentence for another woman's murder in 2010. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is another nice fall-feeling morning right now. 52 degrees here in Pensacola. The downtown post office location will apparently be closing. Letters announcing that closure were placed in post office boxes down at that branch recently. According to a report from the News Journal, the letters say the downtown post office location will be closing and customers will need to receive their mail in a P.O. box. There will have to change where their mail is sent. Mail going to the downtown post office location will be switched over to the East Hill location. That's over on North Davis Highway. They do plan to install some more P.O. boxes in the lobby there. It's not clear what date the downtown branch will be closing officially, but in the letter, November 11th was noted as the date the post office needs to know if folks want to move their P.O. box to the new location or if they want to close it. Santa Rosa County getting a $4.2 million grant to go towards infrastructure improvements at Whiting Aviation Park. That announced this week by Governor DeSantis through the state's Job Growth Grant Fund. The money will be used to construct a helipad and a taxiway, which will connect NAS Whiting Field to Whiting Aviation Park. In light of the Israel-Hamas war, there have been federal warnings over possible threats nationwide. Several local events are happening this week and into the weekend next week, including the start of the Pensacola Interstate Fair. And authorities say so far there have not been any local threats reported.
Whether it's a local situation, whether it's a national scene, or even an international scene, we evaluate all those things. We read all those. We get updates on a number of those things. And if we have any sense that something might take place locally, then we'll address that. We'll be prepared for that.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, and he says not to worry. There will be plenty of security on hand at the fair. At any given time, there could be as many as 40 deputies patrolling the fairgrounds. Israel is getting some help from the state of Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis announced that two cargo planes of supplies have been sent to the country. They should arrive later today. The Florida Division of Emergency Management filled the planes with donated medical supplies, clothing items, and hygiene products, as well as toys for the children in Israel. The governor says that Florida is stepping up to help our allies in Israel. And some Jews in Miami-Dade County have been appalled by actions in that war. Members of a group called Jewish Voice for Peace South Florida held a big rally in Coral Gables outside Senator Rick Scott's office yesterday. The protesters say they want Israel to focus on peace. They're asking Senator Scott to help call for a ceasefire there. The city of Pensacola is still working to find a solution long-term for recycling. They're going to start allowing recycling drop-offs on Saturdays starting next month. Mayor D.C. Reeves says that'll start Saturday, November 4th, and continue every Saturday from 7 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Public Works and Sanitation facilities on North Palafox.
We know that if we have staff there and when we communicate well and just in case someone accidentally brings something, we expect there'll be a little bit of a learning curve for these first few weeks, that we're able to have someone there and say, we do take this and we don't take that.
And Mayor Reeves says the city will be accepting steel and aluminum cans, PET and HDPE plastics, and also clean broken down cardboard, but they specify no greasy pizza boxes. It is 7:35 right now, News Radio 92.3. Jake's got to look at our traffic on the fives.
Well, that's pretty much the entirety of all of my trash, so I'm out. Tiger Point Construction, traffic starting to back up at the westbound in front of the Walmart. Highway 90 in Beulah for the middle school has the normal congestion there. I never knew of middle schools when I was growing up. Fender Bender on Highway 29 southbound at Kingsfield. Their FHP is on the scene, so it's a little slow there. Mobile Highway at Blue Angel showing some slowdowns as well. This traffic report is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealership in that Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful sunny day today with temperatures warming up near 74 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. For Thursday, 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise partly cloudy skies with a high near 75. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it is another fall feeling morning right now. 52 in Pensacola, 55 in Gulf Breeze, and 46 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Koshinka with Your Money Now. The Fed is preparing a proposal that would lower the fees merchants pay to many banks when consumers shop with debit cards. Today, merchants pay large card issuers 21 cents plus a small percentage of the transaction amount, a level set by the Fed in 2011. The Fed can lower the cap if it determines the cost for processing debit card payments are declining, but it has never done so. The Fed says it will hold a meeting next week to vote on a proposal about revising the fee cap. Wellness-enhancing offerings in the workplace aren't just good for employee health. They also boost workers' motivation and sustain productivity. A report released by flexible space company Mindspace says 9 out of 10 employees consider well-being facilities and offerings to be critical in choosing a workplace. 36% mention on-site health-focused facilities or activities as the thing they missed most while working from home during the pandemic. On Wall Street, futures are lower after stocks closed mixed yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. And join Gracie Rep up your workday from 4 till 7. And then, Dave Ramsey takes over. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Down with the DC talk. Are you down with the DC talk? Down with the DC talk.
And by the way, just to be clear for anybody who doesn't understand, when we say down with the DC talk, we don't mean less of it or it's bad. We're being super hip with our DC talk from back in the day. Like, are you good with the DC talk? We like the DC talk, especially when it's a double dip of DC talk because he was in Washington, D.C. this last week, or at least, well, he's up in that vicinity anyway. And he joins us now, Mayor DC Reeves for the city of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. Always hip to be here.
Very good. All right, let's start with this. The downtown post office is closing. Why are you closing the post office, Mr. Mayor?
That's been the running joke amongst my friends.
Well, you're closing everything else. I mean, it must be you closing the post office, right?
Right.
A joke. Obviously a joke.
Exactly, of course. But no, the we were notified at the same time. As a matter of fact, I found out the landlord, which is not out of the normal USPS policy, but the landlord himself found out through the letter that they sent in PO boxes. So that's just, you know, at the federal level, that's how it works. Is mm-hmm. There's no heads up or anything like that. So what I've done,
they
is,
didn't have like a comment period for this decision, did they? They didn't really go through public meetings.
No, including from the landlord. So,
right.
So they make that decision that they aren't going to renew. And I'm sure that the landlord has indicated that. I mean, if they're trying to develop and things like that. But point is, I'm trying to have a meeting set up with the regional contact tomorrow at 11. And again, really, if nothing else to say, you know, how can we help, preserve a location downtown? Can we help you find something? You know, I mean, it's my job as a real estate agent or whatever to come in and make sure that, because it does provide an amenity downtown.
Right,
and there's so many businesses and so many people that work there. It's been there as long as I can remember when me and my granddad walked down there when no one was there on the weekends back when I was a kid. That it was still open in there. So, I'm going to do what I can. I mean, this is definitely outside of anything that the city has any direct impact on, but it does impact us as a community. So I'm going to try to do my job and see if there's something I can do to find some kind of good alternative that would still give us a downtown presence.
And hey, you know, I think there's I see a pattern in your thinking about these kinds of things, and that pattern I appreciate. I think it's a very mature pattern. The pattern is, I don't control the schools, but if there's something I can do to make education better for our kids, I'm going to look into it. You know, and I don't control the post office, but if there's something I can do to solve this problem, you know, and I don't control the private parking lots, but if there's something I can do, look, this affects the experience we have of people downtown, and they blame me anyway. I might as well try to work on it. You know, like why?
Yeah, but correct on both counts.
Yeah, right.
But I think that's the, you know,
that's
the mayor's
gig,
job,
right?
Isn't just signing documents. You have the power to convene people. We did that on a completely separate topic yesterday. Just it's not our duty, but it's just our job to try to bring people together and come to solutions. So, we do the best we can on those things, especially even when they're not right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. What was your power to convene yesterday? What'd you do?
We actually had a meeting with the all the parade operators. And just trying to get on the same page about a few different things and ask them. Actually, there was a council action taken in 2009 that they asked the city manager to convene a group of the parade owners so they could help figure out how to mitigate costs. Lots of costs that go into a parade, police, public works. So my joke was, 14 years later, here's our first meeting at the parade, people that was decided by the 2009 city council. So, and just to hear what I realize is we haven't had those conversations as a group, as a city, in at least 20 years. So why don't we make sure we're on the same page? Are we providing good service to the parade? How can we help mitigate some of these, rising costs on the city side? And so it's a great conversation, and we'll just continue to have those moving forward.
That's good. Sometimes, things take time in government. That's also just the reality of it. Let's talk a little bit about this parking survey. Very interesting stuff, including that 20% of people think that the city-managed lots have red signs. which is, not the case, right? And some comparable percentage think that the, the city lots that the blue lots are the whatever. Just get confused about this. I thought the most interesting takeaway from this was it wasn't the takeaway you mentioned yesterday in your press conference, where you said that we don't have a parking problem during the day. We have a parking problem at night and weekends, which is when we don't charge. Ironically, everybody complains about the paid parking, but that's not the problem. It's what you said, right?
Exactly. That the largest complaint of when I can't find parking is that on weekend evenings, which is actually when we don't charge, at least in the blue spaces, we stop charging at 7 at this point.
Right.
So so you see it's an availability issue. And so that was a big takeaway for me. And I hate to burst some folks' bubble because they think about availability, but they have to understand there's a direct correlation between what you charge and your parking availability. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of people that say, I hope all parking is free.
That's me.
But so think about that. We aren't charging. And the biggest complaint is they can't find a spot at night when we aren't charging.
Right,
why do you think that is?
Right.
Because, you know, everyone can park everywhere. And so when you read Donald Shoup, when you read these experts, that's what they talk about is you have to find that happy medium. If there's an empty block of parking, it's too expensive. And if it's a full block of parking and no one can ever find a space there ever, think about Palafox Street, it's free right now.
Right.
You can never find one there. We have people circle the block over and over. Why is that happening? Because it's free. That's what we're asking our consultant to look at and trying to find that happy medium between availability and cost.
So for me, I never try on Palafox because I know I won't be able to find a spot. But I always know I can find free spots somewhere. You know me, I'm your biggest enemy on this, if only because I'm the guy who doesn't want to pay 13 cents, period. I don't want to pay anything for parking. I keep feeling like my city streets get taken away from me gradually, you know, over and over. And as long as I can still find, and I can still find, there's plenty of abundant free parking as long as you're willing to walk a block or two. But if you start charging after 7, we're going to have words. But I understand the theory. I totally understand the theory, and there it is. Hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. We've got traffic on the fives with Jake.
Got some slowdowns this morning to look at. Tiger Point construction traffic westbound in front of the Walmart. Avalon southbound just north of I-10 starting to slow down there. Highway 90 in front of Beulah Middle School. Normal morning congestion there. Fender Bender on Highway 29 earlier is looking okay. FHP is still on that scene. East Olive Road near the Goodwill heading eastbound is going to be a little slow. This traffic report is brought to you by Bobby Likas Auto Service. That's Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependent.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. A couple of things I thought were really interesting in the parking study. One was, how do you travel downtown? 79% personal vehicle or motorcycle, which is not surprising, but it confirms the drive-in is that's where most people get to downtown. And therefore, if parking or finding parking or congestion downtown is a problem, those people will make other choices. Then how easy is it for you to find a parking space? 28% extremely difficult, 45% somewhat difficult, combining 73% of people think that it kind of sucks to go downtown to park, somewhat or extremely. And then the last one, and I kind of get your reaction to this, is what's the maximum price you would pay for an hour of parking if it was like the perfect easy experience and no more than just getting out of your car and walking away, even at a no difficulty? 25% want free, most they'll pay. That's me. 19%, 50 cents an hour, 28%, $1 an hour. So price, at least according to people, really is a disincentive.
And you know what? I appreciated that stat after 5,100 people took it, because what I've said in town halls before is sometimes I'll get a passing comment about cost, and the reality is it's not about cost. It's about experience. It's about kiosk. How did my app work? The kiosk work, and where can I know to go find a space? So the city has work to do really in two instances in my mind. One is to do a better communication job of where these spaces are. The vast majority of spaces that the city owns are free.
Right.
So what we're actually talking about is that parking spot right in front of where you want to be is what's up for discussion.
That's
here.
That's true. Not, yeah, that's right.
It's not that we don't have any free spaces. I mean, we should probably just put signs to free parking. That only are a couple blocks away. We have significant amounts of free parking. So,
or it's the spot that you used to park in for free that now charges till 7, right? That's also an issue. But yeah, go ahead. Right.
Correct.
You're right.
Correct. But I think the second job we have to do, and you heard me say this yesterday, and I owe this to the citizens and everybody, really to the community, anybody who uses this as a user fee, is we've got to tell you what we're going to do with the money. And because here's the reality. If we went free right now, just to make a counterpoint, if we went just totally free, do we not have to repave those parking spaces anymore? Do we not have to beautify downtown? Do we not have, are those things? I mean, you're paying for those, Andrew, one way or the other. It's just now we're charging the user who is utilizing it versus I mean, those are not infrastructure expenses that would just go away if we started charging free. What would happen is over years of time, they would start emailing me and say, man, it really looks downtrodden down here. And there's many test cases of cities that went in, and that's what they talk about, like Donald Shoup's title of his book, High Cost of Free Parking, is that you now don't have the money to go revitalize and beautify downtown. And so the big miss that I believe the city has had, and the one I'm taking on, is what are we – okay, we charge different hours, 50 cents, dollar, whatever it is, what are we doing with your money? And I don't think we've ever done a really good job of illustrating what we do with your money.
No, I think that
changes the conversation.
And that's a great – I mean, just to be sure that if the city costs more for something, people ought to understand what is the value I get for my extra cost, whether it's better fire service or better police service or anything else, what do I get for paying a little bit more? Hey, just a quick thing before we do the lightning round. I know you had a big discussion last week about this property John Schell has bought, Kitty Corner to the police station, the red brick building across from the skate park, and that there is not a good process in place for dealing with property owners who are just, again and again, recidivist fines because of not being in code compliance, and what do you do with that? And I'll give you my 3-second summary of what I said earlier in the show, which is, yeah, I think Escambia County does this really well. First of all, if you're a multiple property owner, you can't sell any of those properties. It's spider webs to the other properties until you clean up each one. You can't sell the property until you solve the lien problem. And those being the two big things. And they're willing to distinguish between hard costs, like, you know, time and expense actually sunk, versus penalties. And so they're willing to waive down to the hard costs when somebody like inherits a property or something like that. But here's what they don't do and what I would kind of recommend. One is, I think you ought to have the buyer be able to come and ask for a waiver before he's bought the property. He doesn't have standing yet, but he could ask. I mean, that might not ever work out in practice, but it's something to look into. And then the other one is, I really favor, if somebody's a really bad, like, they violate and violate and violate, seize the property. I mean, at some point, it's such a blight that just like not paying your property taxes ought to forfeit your property. So yeah, I know you guys are going to you're probably going to have a special meeting on this to talk about it, but those are just some things to keep in mind. And you may want to have somebody somebody talk to Allison Rogers at the county and find out what they do, because I think they do this pretty well.
Yeah, and I would say on all counts, agreed in some shape or form on all counts, and we've really done a great job. Ryan Spikes has taken over at Code, has really brought some new, fresh ideas. And I absolutely agree with you. The pain point of this particular issue is the previous owner, who was a pain point for us forever. And now John, who's doing something good for the community, now has to, and he knew the lien was there, but he's also investing exponentially more money into that project than someone else's old fine. So you're right. It's a tough situation all around, including for us, right? It's like, hey, great. Right. You're investing and you're turning away blight in this area. That would be great for us. Yet it looks, now we've got to go waive code fines and make it look like that we can do that all the time. So 100% agree. And yeah, certainly we'll look into many options. I know we are looking into some of those options already.
Good. No, it was just interesting because I've heard so many of these conversations at the commission meetings, and all of a sudden the city council didn't just even have the tools to talk about this the right way. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Exactly.
Lightning round. We always end with the lightning round. Oh, we didn't even get to talk about the Mayor's Institute you went to. We'll come back to that next week. Good stuff.
That's right.
Did you have a teddy bear stuffed animal still in your possession from your youth?
Ooh, no. And actually, my mom is moving houses, so she's now giving me all the stuff that she's up in.
You're getting the hand-me-outs, right?
Actually, in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, very, very good. Okay. Back in the day, where did you buy your music?
Oh, man.
Are you old enough to have bought music? I should ask.
No. The store at Cordova Mall right down by the Dillard's.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of it. It was the last store. Yeah, I was a mall shopper. I would play at the arcade, go get a cassette tape for my walk.
All right, cassette tapes. Well done, son. And then the last one is, I think it was Monday, was the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company. Does D.C. Reeves, as a dad, but also just as a person, do you have a favorite Disney movie or maybe two?
Ooh, I've kind of just been forced into the volume of top of mind. We just watched Little Mermaid. I don't know if that's my favorite.
The new one or the original?
Top of mind, it was like 2 days ago. The new one.
Okay.
The new one.
All right.
I would say, put me on the spot. I would say I'm a big Lion King fan. I like Lion King.
All right.
All the new stuff's good. The ones that's good for parents and kids, that stuff I really enjoy.
No, that, and I agree. It's almost hard to come up with a bad answer to the question, so fair enough. D.C. Reeves, exactly. Mayor of Pensacola, look forward to talking to you again next week and to the city council meetings next week. But thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
7:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Since we're so close to 55, why don't we just go ahead and give them a traffic on the fives, Jake?
Okay. All right. Looking at the roads here, we just got some slowdowns to tell you about. The normal Tiger Point construction traffic westbound in front of the Walmart. Avalon southbound, southbound just north of I-10. Highway 90 in front of Beulah Middle School is starting to get better there. Fender Bender on Highway 29 southbound earlier looks better now. East Olive Road near the Goodwill is starting to slow down. If you have any traffic info, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Join Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric is one of the least expensive hurricane protection systems available. It is strong and safe and defends against wind, water, and flying debris. The professionals from Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric will be here to take your calls and answer any questions you may have about protecting your home and family during a storm. That's tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Oh, do you remember those sounds? Those were the days, were they? 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, the Senate Minority Leader and fellow Republicans are looking to freeze $6 billion in Iranian assets. Senators Mitch McConnell, Tom Cotton, and John Kennedy unveiled legislation to stop the transfer of the money, which, of course, is a key part of a deal struck between the White House and Iran to release five American prisoners as well. And results from a nearly 20-year study show adults with ADHD are significantly more likely to develop dementia later in life. Researchers at Rutgers followed more than 100,000 people from 2003 to 2020. What they found was that people with ADD were three times more likely to develop dementia.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, just in the, like, well, you can't fix the one and now you can't prevent the other is kind of what that feels like, which is very frustrating. I mean, you could maybe look at, you know, brain developmental things like, you know, televisions and screens and video games and stuff like that that, you know, might not help and might avoid, if you don't use them, you know, some of these problems. But, man, that's a pretty discouraging bit of news, David. Thanks.
You're listening to
News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.